When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Hello and welcome to my first bite-sized, or maybe I should call it baby-sized, episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby. We are 8 seasons in to the podcast now, which is absolutely bonkers. We've had so many amazing chats that I've absolutely loved, and the nuggets that I've taken away, well, there's just been plenty of them, to be fair. Every time I finish a recording, every time I listen to an episode back, I feel like I've been through therapy. These conversations have hit so many different topics, and I have loved going back over the archive and digging out those little nuggets that I think, you know what, I heard it then, it meant something, but now it could mean something completely different. Because as we all know, this parenting journey, it's messy, it's raw, and we just need those little things that are going to just give us that confidence boost, give us that little bit of info that we need, and to ultimately let us know that we are not on our own. To kick us off, I've gone straight back to our very first episode with my best friend, TV presenter Emma Willis. Here we talk about juggling, developing confidence as a new mum, whilst also 3 kids in, feeling like you still have no idea what you are doing. So enjoy. So let's talk about confidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has your confidence changed since being a mum?
Yeah, I'm trying to think kind of from a personal point of view and from a work and career point of view, if maybe personally it's my confidence has dipped, but professionally it's raised. But I think my confidence is better on both sides.
Right.
Because, and I don't know whether that's partly because of what I did for so long was modelling, and I had to be so aware of how I looked and what I did, and that was my job, was my body looking a certain way. Now I don't care about that. Like, I want it to feel good and be strong rather than look incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You do look incredible.
Because I had 3 kids, and I remember you saying this, like, I don't care what my body looks like, it's what my body's achieved.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that, I've grown a human being and I've pushed it out. So I kind of went from a career where everything was about how I looked to all of a sudden I could eat cake and do what I wanted. It wasn't about how I looked anymore. It was about what I said and what I did and if I read my words right. People watching. So from a personal point of view, I think my confidence was better because it wasn't all about what I looked like. And from a career point of view, I used to be really insecure, and I still am quite paranoid. I think I've always been paranoid about everything in my life, but I am quite insecure about my ability and if I'm any good. But the things I used to worry about, like interviewing people and getting panicked and oh my goodness, I'm so nervous. I do get very nervous for live telly, but now I just put everything into perspective by going, I'm raising 3 children to be human beings and grown-ups. Like, that is so much pressure, that the pressure of interviewing One Direction, it's just nothing. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of how I compare everything now. Like, can I do this? Can I do this? oh my goodness, can I do this? Yes, I can. Because if I'm putting three children on the path to their future and hopefully doing a good job with it, this is a walk in the park. This hour of live telly is just a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having kids is amazing fun, but it's amazing pressure and it's terrifying. And again, you don't want to drop the balls. You want to create them into the best specimens of human beings that you possibly can. So that's how I compare everything now is, can I do this? Yes, I'm raising children. Can I do this? Yes, I get them dressed every day. Can I do this? I get them to school on time. Can I do this? I do homework still. Like, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think for confidence with me, when I first had the babies, when I first had Buzz, confidence just hit the floor. I think because I suddenly was in overwhelmed that life had completely changed. I really felt like I didn't know what I was
doing.
But
I think that is, I mean, I obviously can't speak for everybody. I was like that with my first, because at the time as well, I didn't have a job. I couldn't get a job for love nor money. So I was at a point where I didn't know whether I should still be doing this. I didn't know whether I was any good. I'd had a baby. My hormones were all over the place. Mm. I'd had a really traumatic birth. I couldn't breastfeed. I was producing no milk. She was back in hospital after 3 days because she had to be fed via a tube because she had nothing in her and I didn't know I hadn't been feeding her because no one had taught me what to do.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was rock bottom. But I think with your first child, that happens because your life is literally never going to be the same again.
No, never. And I don't think I was fully prepared for that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, there were moments where it was quite dark in the
first 3 weeks.
But
you thought you were. Because I remember before you got pregnant, not that you were ready for the darkness, but you were so ready to have a baby.
Oh, totally.
That's all you wanted.
Yeah.
I remember asking you every month.
Jay?
You wanted to tell me. So that for you must have been...
Yeah.
A real kind of...
Shock.
The highs of the highs to suddenly being way down there.
Honestly, the first 3 weeks, seriously wondered whether I had a maternal bone in my body. And I can remember asking myself, can I send him back? Yeah.
Don't say that.
But no, that's, you know, and it's only through sharing now that I realise that that's something that actually a lot of women go through.
Yeah.
And I think if you haven't heard that other people feel like that, then you feel isolated. You feel like a bad mum.
Yeah. I felt like a bad mum because for the first 3 days at home, I thought I'd been feeding her 24 hours a day. Really, no milk had been coming out. Oh. So she'd had nothing.
Yeah.
And literally, she just turned and you could see it. And I took her to A&E immediately and they sorted her out and she was fantastic. But I think it's all of that pressure, isn't it, the first time round? It's the... People say, don't they, like, you'll know, you'll instinctively know what the cries mean.
Oh, the bloody cries.
They all sound the same. What are you talking about? It's just a really long, loud cry. There's no difference in any of
I can remember saying to Matt, do you know the cry? Do you know the differences with the cry? What do they mean?
None of us knew the cry. You know, and also there are so many people to listen to.
Mm.
You know, you've got the midwives who are fantastic, and then you've got the health visitors, and then you've got the on-call midwives, and then you've got your family and your friends who have had babies and the ones who haven't had babies but think they can give you advice.
We've all been there. It's easy to give advice when you've not even had kids.
What do you mean you can't come out tonight? Just get a babysitter. Doesn't work like that. And, you know, my blessing really was my mum, because I, even though with Isabel, we had taken her back in and they sorted her out, I still continued to try and breastfeed for as long as I could, because that was the thing to do and that was the right thing and that's what's best for her. And, you know, everybody that came in to visit me, I felt like I was looked down on any time they came in and there was a bottle of formula next to me.
Right.
It was kind of like, oh, not persevering. I was like, no, I am. I am persevering, but she wants more and I haven't got any. So I had to top her up with, do you know, it's little things like that. And then after 6 weeks of trying so hard, I was so down and so depressed and just crying all the time because I wanted to do the best for her. Then my mum just went, stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets me all upset thinking about it. Stop it, Emma. You're honestly, you're driving yourself mad when all she needs is for you. Ah, oh, gee, what have you done? For you to give her the best start. And if that is from your boob or from a bottle, just give her love, which you are. But you being this way is not the best thing for her.
That's what you said to me.
Yeah. So I got a bottle and a bit of formula and it was just happy days from then on.
Well, that's what you said to me when Buzz was 6 weeks and we were about to go up to Manchester.
I can't believe it in a podcast that you made me cry.
It's emotional stuff. It's about being a mum. But no, I can remember you saying the same thing to me at 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me go, oh yeah, I don't have to do that. No. I don't have to do this. There are other options.
Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic if you can. And
well,
I think for me, you should.
Saying that just made me go, yeah. Oh yeah,
but it's
let's
just
take
knowing
the
that there's another, there is another option.
Yeah.
And whether it's, I know I'm not a midwife and I shouldn't advise this, but whether it's give as much boob as you can and top up with formula or if you just need sleep at night, you know, express your milk and make him get up, whoever's next to you.
Yeah.
Or if they will take some formula, give it to them in the night if you just need a kip. Like, do what is best. Happy mum, happy baby. Do
and
you know
that's
what
exactly
I mean?
That's where totally, the title comes from, yeah.
It's absolutely right. Think about how much of your focus and attention and how much it's can stress you out just feeding.
Mm.
Then you've got the whole other world that goes with having a new baby for the first time as well, you know, with sleeping and cleaning bottles and, you know, sorting yourself out and even having a shower. Like, that just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're always the bottom of the list. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So feeding is causing that much stress. And then you've got everything else to think about as well. You know, your house, your washing, laundry, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it just piles on top and on top and on top. And that pile gets bigger and you get lower and lower and lower.
I think for me, we went away for 2 weeks when Buzz was 6 weeks old and that was the best thing. So it meant that I could just literally have my boobs out all day long. I didn't have to worry about the cooking or the cleaning. And that's the only reason why I could continue.
I thought you meant you went away and left him.
Bye!
It was the best time of my life.
But there is a lot of pressure. And judgment. I think there's pressure and judgment. Do you feel judged?
I think as I said, with the whole frowning at my bottle, like having bottle next to me, I suppose with my first child, I did. But I think, again, that's the unknown. And then you learn so much the first time that once the second one comes along, you know, after,
it doesn't really
after
matter.
2 weeks,
yeah.
I was like, those boobs are going away now. And again, it was really so soon. I'm like, yep, that's what I need to do to be able to continue my life with my children and my job and my home and my husband and everything it is that I need to do day to day in my life. That works best for me.
Mm.
And if that works best for me, it's going to be best for him.
Yeah.
So I think first time round, yes, I think you feel judged constantly. You feel judged on every single thing you do, you know, whether it's breastfeeding or bottle feeding, or for me personally, whether it's breastfeeding in public, being scared to do it, not doing it.
Do you know, there's even a thing, breastfeeding in public, but covered up or not covered up. That's another judgment. Because I was after 6 months, I was like, I'm feeding outside. This is amazing.
I know. I remember being so overwhelmed and
empowered.
Like, oh my God, I'm such a great woman.
So I took a picture and put it on Instagram of, like, you know, of a nice blanket over me, like a little thin muslin type thing. And I did actually have comments of judgmental people saying, yeah, but you shouldn't cover them up though, should you? You wouldn't like to eat under a blanket. That's how, come on, is this or like, I've cooped them up in a car, all the feeds for the first 6 months. And this is me being outside. I don't think people should be so judgmental over things. I think there is something about parenting that makes people want to say, it's like, no, I did like this, so I think everyone should. And actually, we should just all chill out and just be accepting that we don't know.
Everybody does it differently, don't they? And everyone's baby is different.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is good for one isn't good for another. Like, I called you the other day with my third child and went... Oh, can I give them bottled water? Is she allowed bottled water? You'd think I would know.
But
right?
The thing is, it changes so much. I don't, like, what is advised or whatever, it all changes, so you can't even keep up.
And, you know, and a lot of it, I suppose, revolves around food, doesn't it? When do you start feeding? What type of feeding should you do? Should you do baby-led weaning? Should you do, like, all of that stuff? It is a constant scrutiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it should just be support rather than picking faults with people and going, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. Even if it's just your wording, like, yeah, I see what you're doing, but have you tried or have you thought about just giving people ideas rather than going, no, that's wrong, that's wrong, or, you know.
But
I think,
also, you'd think that all other mothers would understand the pressures and how we're all feeling on on every level, and this lack of sleep and the emotion and everything.
And so, oh, goodness, how have they gone back to work so soon?
Yes.
I couldn't do that if I was them. Like, oh, I love it. Oh, I said it out loud.
You didn't say that.
That one day a week that I go to work, I'm 2 months old. Oh. It's bliss.
Adult conversation.
It's just a little bit of normality. And I don't know whether that, not that it's not normal having my children with me, but it's just a day for me, a day a week when it's, I can go and think like myself. And go and think about something other than washing and poo.
Emma, I think we all would agree that we'd quite like to not think about poo for at least a day. That would be nice. Thanks for listening to this special bite-sized episode, and please do share it with any new mums who need to know that they're not alone in feeling a little bit lost. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with some more pearls of wisdom, this time from my wonderful husband, Tom. There we go. See you later.